I'm going to go ahead now and teach this thing on rejection that we, this is like a 5-minute teaching that took 3 hours last week. So if you missed last week, the way I just explained it last week, some of that you see, oh my gosh, I have used the things I like about myself, the things that other people have liked about me, or the things that were tough about me. It doesn't have to necessarily be good stuff that you're building this mountain out of to like yourself. Everyone in a gang is using that perverted stuff to be their good thing. I'm loyal. I'm this. I'm that. Loyal to what? A bunch of people murdering people? There's no loyalty in that. Loyal to people who sell drugs and then are killing people? There's no loyalty in that. I mean, there's loyalty, but it's loyalty to the demons. But yet, that's where people are so desperate to get self-esteem. People who feel like they are nothing. People who feel like they are so horrible and so bad because Satan has set it up to make them feel like that. They will get their self-esteem anywhere. I believe the party spirit in the church. What is the party spirit? It's selfish ambition in people's hearts, but they embrace the spiritual things and get a counterfeit. How do you know who they are? By the fruit you will know them. Their houses are a mess. Their families are messed up. Their kids usually don't even want anything to do with God. Or they're so much got a religious spirit themselves that there's bondage. They try to seem spiritual, but there's no rubber meets the road reality there. And if you get discerning of spirits, when you're around it, you're like, ah. Now, there's some people who have some real going and some of the other. And God's purging that. And then there's people who don't have anything real going. They're away from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you, the Lord says on that day. Because they built an entire house with spirituality, including speaking in tongues, prophecy, casting out demons according to what they think they're doing. And they get so much self-esteem in what they think they're ministering. They never go back to see the fruit of it. They never go back to walk with people to see if there was anything that came of it. It's about the activity, the spiritual activity, to make me feel good about myself. And it's so easy to embrace that in the church. Because everybody's looking for who's the spiritual person. And what God wants to do, he wants to purge that selfish ambition, that desire to promote self, that desire to prove you're okay, that desire to feel good about yourself. Now, let me say this. I really believe when we have a radical encounter with God, especially if we've lived a life in such darkness, if we did not know there was a Jesus Christ, if we didn't know it was real, and we've got taken down into fornication and taken down into drugs and taken down into all kinds of horrible things, and you really couldn't stand your life and you were losing your mind or whatever, and all of a sudden you find out that Jesus Christ is real, that's an awesome revelation. But if you don't go and deal with these hurt places, there will come a season when the spirituality that you have will then move into counterfeit. Because what happens when you find Christ out of this darkness and out of the self-hate and out of all these things that are horrible about you, and you find out that you are loved, you find out that there's one who loves you, what happens is too many times men who are also still in bondage come alongside you to try to build you up in Christ. And they begin to benefit from your powerful testimony. They begin to get self-esteem met by, wow, look who I led to the Lord. Or wow, look at this person coming to God. And pretty soon, they begin to puff you up as a young believer. They begin to put you on a pedestal. They begin to get some need met there. And the Bible says it's unwise to do that because of pride. And instead of dealing with the issues underneath all of the pain, Jesus come to set us free. He means it. I have watched, I have seen people, young people on fire for God, completely on fire for God with radical gifting, radical anointing. God has brought them forth for this last move of God, I believe. And they are like way beyond where they should be because they were way beyond in darkness. So when the anointing comes in where there was darkness, there's no two spirit realms. There's one spirit realm. There's one spirit realm. If you opened up to the spirit realm through alcohol or drugs, especially drugs, or witchcraft or the occult, you can never close down where you are in the spirit realm. So you have to quickly be ministered to get deliverance. And that's not happening. So what happens, you come in, God's grace is awesome. You begin to move in the things of the spirit. Why are you moving in them so fast? Because you were moving in the demonic things so fast. So it's like you're swished in. You're like brought in. It's not like some little innocent babe that's brought in and hasn't opened up to the spirit realm. And step by step, you help them open up and they get stronger in God. They get baptized in the Holy Ghost. They go through some teaching, some ministry. They begin to operate in the gifts, but there's somebody there to mentor it and help. Do you know what I'm saying? That's how we're supposed to open up. But now we got people coming in who were into drugs, who were into alcohol, who were into all kinds of perversions. Boom! I mean, they're living for the devil. And they really do find Christ. It's a sincere change of life. But boom, there they are. And people do not understand the ways of God. He is a God, line upon line, from glory to glory. He says so. And so if someone comes in and they're at a place of glory that's beyond their understanding or their maturity in Christ, then you need to go. God's like, you've got to help them get free. You have to stop this thing, because what you see is they are really fast, fly by nights, on fire for God. But within a year or two, they are burnt out, messed up, and back in sin many times, or in something so counterfeit that nobody's drawn to it. And I'm not just talking here. I've seen this and seen this. I've seen it in the church. I've seen it in youth ministries. I've seen it in ministries that really go after youth that God is drawing them to. And I'm telling you what, I'm just praying that we destroy this party spirit. And we see these people who are zealous for God. The Bible says zealous without knowledge. Zealous for God, healed and delivered and set free to get in that walk that will continue to grow and glorify God. It's awesome. And that's what we want to do here on Tuesday night. We don't want to throw stones at each other. We don't want to judge each other. We want to have the Holy Spirit help us to see that everybody moves into all that they can be in Christ. And don't be afraid of moving into the supernatural. I got people who were in drugs before coming here, and it was such a horrible thing, and they got so tormented that when you begin to touch the anointing, they've closed down. I don't want the anointing. I don't want to go into the anointing because they're so afraid of that supernatural realm. And so we got to help them get free to trust that God will keep them in that realm, and they don't need a devil holding them back from the presence of God, because that's what happened. They've taken a counterfeit to stop them from going into a place that was they're afraid to go, and then they can't enter in the presence. And pretty soon what happens to them is they become carnal-minded, and everything begins to be about this world, and they give up on thinking they can move in the supernatural. And they give up thinking that God would use them. And they give up the calls on their life. And they're very content just to barely get by and never do what God has for their lives. And that's not good either. Because God wants them full of the power of God. God wants them moving in the supernatural. God wants them preaching and teaching and going on the mission field and making their whole life count for God. Because that's what they wanted when they first came. But because they buy into a counterfeit and they put a blockage there, they begin to think God doesn't want them. God can't use them. How could God use them? After all, they've tried to enter in the presence of God and they can't go there. But God wants to tear down that wall and bring them into that place that God has for them. God is not going to leave any of us out of this if we begin to see the schemes of the enemy and want to go there. And one of the things we have to do is we have to tear down that fear of rejection. We have to tear down that foundation of everything we like about ourselves that's based on rejection. And when we get rid of that thing, we can take all of that stuff and put it where it needs to go and get rid of the stuff that should have never been there. Is that cool? And so can everybody see this? Okay, not everybody has this. I didn't have a fear of rejection. I just had a haughty spirit. My house of good was built on a haughty spirit. I really thought I was that good. I never thought I wasn't good. Well, I'm serious. I mean, I was a mountain through and through because I just thought I was smart. I got unconditional love from my dad. And I just really thought, well, look how smart I am. I mean, I came from a pretty uneducated family. So my gosh, if you made A's on your report card without studying, you were really something. If you didn't smoke, drink, and get in trouble sleeping around, you were a pretty good person. If you could go through life without getting into much trouble and you didn't cuss, and believe me, I got saved at 7, so God really took care of that, though nobody in my family was saved. And God was there, and I didn't even know it. I was having revelations when I was 12. God came and talked to me, told me I was called to ministry. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know anything. God so kept me. But because of all that, I just had such pride. And until God began to deal with me with compassion and tear this down and make me see how horrible it was. And if you read Rick Joyner's book, he talks about an entire army that goes to the high places in God, but they get so puffed up in pride that they fall into major deception. Do you know who that's mainly talking to? It's talking about people who've been in the church their whole life. And they're the people who've had it pretty good. But they never got the heart of God and compassion. They took the things of God as if they belonged to them. And in that book, and I'm seeing it ministry-wise, I've watched it. God has used me to go and warn people. And they're not listening. And I've watched them go into counterfeit. And now God's going to give us revelation to how to pray and fight and believe to get them out. And I think that's going to be dying to reputation and letting people take a lot of shots at you where you walk in love. Because that's what Jesus did. And love never fails. Wow, that sounds like fun. But then you begin to get his heart and you want to do what he wants done and you no longer care about what people say about you because you know who you are in Christ. You know who you are in Christ. You know the fruit in your life. You know the way he's changed you. You know how much you love him. You know how the word of God is what you live and breathe and speak. You know that you know that you know that what you have is real. And then it no longer matters what anybody says. Not because you're so beyond that you can't be deceived, but because you know you have to go to God not to get deceived. You know God's got to get this junk out of my heart. But mainly, like he said in that book, there is a security when you actually see why Satan was able to do these things to you. And it's about junk that's in you that now isn't in you. And you begin to see the faithfulness of God, the unbelievable faithfulness of God. Because the lie is, we're so faithful, we're so spiritual, we're so good. But God's failing me. God's not answering my prayers. God's not doing it my way. That is such hogwash. That is such . But you don't see that until God begins to show you your heart. And when he shows you your heart, all of a sudden it's like, oh, what a faithful God. Oh, what a faithful God. Oh, God, that you kept me. Oh, God, that you got me at the right places at the right time. Oh, God, that you didn't let me self-destruct. Oh, God, forgive me for the people I've hurt in this haughtiness. Forgive me for the people that I hurt being self-absorbed or for some of you, whatever it is. But, God, there's no condemnation in you. And all I know is you're the one setting me free. And you still use, he still uses us right in the midst of our junk. Wow. Talk about faithful. But if we don't begin to allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, set us apart as holy, change us, we will come under this judgment where the enemy will tear us apart until we see these things and turn back to God. And the other thing God showed me, as the church begins to go in this fire, don't. We want to be an example and a way of escape. We don't want to be those going, I knew that was going to happen. I saw that coming. You know, God wants all that kind of junk out of our heart so that we can actually be a light. And then what they used to make fun of, they'll embrace as coming from God so that they can get set free. So it's very exciting to me to be so much right in what God is doing and this judges that he's bringing to the body of Christ, because he's going to judge the church first. But before he judges the church, he's going to give her an opportunity to get free. And that book, I believe with all my heart, was the beginning of the revelation of how he was going to do that. And then the people who he's beginning to give this revelation to and show it to, he's going to use those people as they change and move in power and anointing to change other people's life. We had an awesome meeting Saturday. We had one of the most mature meetings we've ever had. We didn't have to have signs and wonders. We didn't have to lord it over anybody. We had unsaved people here who God really touched, that were came in really and ended up really talking to us and even hugging us, and God was moving. And we've already had reports of miracles. I believe we're going to have some major reports of miracles. And it was just different. I can't explain it. It was different. It was like a new season. It was like a new season. And I appreciate all those who came to pray and to support it and to be part of what God was doing on Saturday. And they're coming out of the Catholic Church. And let me say this, and don't attack people where they're at. Don't attack their doctrine and all before they have 5 seconds to know that you have any fruit in your life. And that was all from our fear from the past. That was all from our own issues that we were brought into deception. And now we want to drag people out and we're smacking the people. And what we're doing is you're making them walk away because they're afraid. Well, I don't know. I've had this my whole life. So we don't need to do that anymore. Be a light and they'll see the darkness. Be a light. Let the Holy Spirit get people out of the darkness. We have done this so wrong. We have done this so wrong because of pride and because of fear. I believe if God gets a few Catholics in here, he can get them out of darkness any way he wants and use them right in a Catholic church. But let's be careful not to pop them over the head the minute they walk in and they never come back. And God really showed me how to do that the other day. And I just encourage you all to be sensitive when God brings new people in. You don't know where they're coming from. And you don't know what they have where they're at. You don't know what's going on in their church. You really don't know. You know what went in the one you were in, but you don't have a clue what's going on where they are. And so we need to quit judging that stuff. And we need to quit attacking where God is actually has somebody and using them or drawing. Let him draw them out, not you. Let him draw them out. They need to see something in you that they'd be drawn to first anyway. And it's that unconditional love that draws people out of tradition. It's seeing the Bible preached. It's hearing the word of God. It's gets you hungry enough to go to a Bible study to start to hear truth, to listen to radio shows you never listened to. Folks, let God be in charge. You know, let him be in charge. I know, I'm telling you, if somebody had come to me when I was in the Methodist church, and I thought this was it, and they were so liberal, I thought it was great, and just told me how wrong I was, I wouldn't have listened. So God is doing something different, and first he has to get the fear out of our hearts. He has to get the hurt out of our hearts, and then he's going to give us wisdom, and we need to begin to open our mouths with wisdom. Okay, what I want to do for this altar call, for those who see it. If you don't, you need to get the tape series, and you need to pray about it and see this. But if you see that you have built a house, you have taken the good things, you've taken the things you like about yourself. It could be that I'm fun. It could be that I'm the coolest person, that everybody likes me around, that I like little kids. I mean, it's anything that you try to like about yourself. If you see that you grabbed onto all of that even before you even knew the Lord, or maybe you added to it some spirituality after you knew the Lord, but you never, ever really tore down the house of condemnation, and you never realized that you built these things to make yourself like yourself and not to be rejected. And you see now, wow, I do see now, number one, that I am unconditionally loved by God. How do you know? I know I'm doing a lot of teaching that's on these tapes, but we have some new people. How do you know that you are lovable? You need to get the tape series, but I'm telling you, how do you know? Because you're a human being. It's not about you. Your lovability is not about you. Praise God for that. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your lovability is not about you. God created you to love you. Your lovability is based on the fact of your creator, not on you. If he created me to be lovable, then guess what? I am capable of being lovable. And I was created to contain his love. Whoa, I was created for God to live inside of me, and he is love. You can't be any more lovable than that. Period. Woo, end of it. Yep. Satan, you're a liar. You're not. Shut up. I am a human being. How easy is that? You know, honestly, the gospel is very simple. It's very simple. It's really, truth is simple. I don't know. I don't know if I'm worth anything. I don't know. I don't know if God could ever love me. Are you a person? Everybody in here is a person. We don't allow pets. Well, we do allow pets once in a while. Sammy's here. If you are a human being, you were created to contain and to hold God's love. And his love is perfect love. Period. Yeah, but my dad is nothing to do with why you were created.